when he is young, before he becomes a king, Merlin takes the future King Arthur and educates him by turning him into various animals and having him experience the world. And one of the animals that Merlin makes of the little Arthur is a bird. And he takes him up flying above the world. And in T.H. White's recounting in his classic book about King Arthur called The Once and Future King, Merlin says to Arthur, "What is it from the sky that you don't see?" And of course, the answer is that from the sky, you don't see frontiers. You don't see borders. You don't see where one country ends and another begins. You may see mountains. You might see structures. You might see rivers. But there is no color coding the way there is on a map or on a globe. Because the truth is that the world does not naturally divide into countries, even though geography, topography sometimes helps you decide that this is a separate entity. From the sky, you wouldn't know Alaska and Florida are the same country. King David tells us in the Psalms that the whole world belongs to God. But like King Arthur, he discovers that the view from the sky is not the view from the ground. King Arthur spends his whole time fighting for frontiers that he can't see from the sky, and King David spends his whole life fighting for frontiers too. Especially against the Philistines, who, by the way, lived in Gaza. Just a historical note. Modern borders have been established by a process just as makeshift, as arbitrary, as ingenious, sometimes as ingenuous, as any in history. Last year, I read Margaret Mitchell's book, Paris 1919, about how the world was divided up after the First World War. And for all the best intentions of the smartest people around, it was largely arbitrary. And when you look at the divisions of the Balkans, of the countries of Africa, of the Middle East, when you remember what Churchill said, "With a stroke of my pen, I change the world," you know that borders are a very problematic thing throughout history. This morning, knowing I was going to speak about this, I happened to open the Los Angeles Times. In case you didn't get to the paper this morning, I'll save you the trouble. On the editorial page are two editorials by the governor of New Mexico and the governor of Arizona declaring states of emergency in their states. Why? Because of troubles on the border. Borders are troublesome. They always have been, and I dare say, to a greater or lesser extent, they always will be. A passport lets you in one place and not another. A certain look is dangerous in one part of the world and welcome in a different part of the world. And there's nothing you can do about it. In deference to Malcolm Cosgrove's being on the Bema, I'll quote a Scottish proverb. The proverb is this: you can live without friends, but you can't live without neighbors. Everybody has neighbors. Everybody has borders. and it's rarely easy. Judaism believes in borders. That may sound obvious, but it's not. What I mean by that is the word for holiness in Judaism, kiddushah, means what? Separation. In other words, part of achieving some kind of sanctity in this world is the knowledge that certain things must be separate from you and from your life. What is keeping kosher? Keeping kosher is a way of saying, that I will not eat. Kosher doesn't tell you what you do eat, it tells you what you don't eat. In other words, the border. You can't cross over this. You know the Ashkenazi custom of circling in a wedding? Where the bride circles the groom. These days, sometimes the groom also circles the bride. The idea is you're building a wall. Nobody gets to come inside this wall. It is just reserved for the two of you. It's a border. Because without separation, there's no togetherness. Havdalah, the end of Shabbat. The very word means separation. Hamavdil bein kodesh l'chol. We separate from the holy and from the secular. Bein Yisrael la'amim. Between our own people and other people. Bein yom hashvi'i l'sheshet yomei ha'maaseh. From the Sabbath and the 7 days of work. And when we translate that, there's something inside of us that doesn't like that. What do you mean we separate our people from other people? But there is no self-definition without separation. You can't walk into a chess club and say, I want to play bridge. They'll say, no, that's not what this place is for. You can't come into America and say, now I'm an American. They'll say, no. There's a certain definition that is required. Americans are separated, otherwise there would be no such category as Americans. Every category requires separation. Every definition requires negation. That is saying, I'm not that. Everything needs a border. The first verse of the Torah talks about how God creates the whole world. You know what classical Jewish commentary says about that verse? Rashi says, why does God begin by telling us how he creates the whole world? Why doesn't God just begin by the commandments? God wants us to know the whole world is ours, and therefore God can make borders any way he wants. So that's what this week has been about, in part, is the right of a people to define its own borders and the struggle about where those borders should be and the recognition that without separation, there is no self-definition. If you don't have spaces, you're doomed. If you don't have separations and divisions, then you have no place to maneuver. And sometimes, when you need it, to escape. We think sometimes that boundaries are unnecessary. We talk about unity, but you can't have a painting without a frame. And you can't have a country without a separation, a border, sometimes even a wall. Human society needs fire breaks, just like the swaths that rangers cut in mountains to make sure that the conflagration, the fire, stops somewhere. This is an important lesson to teach our children that negation and difference and separation, even though everybody just as a matter of course talks about how bad they are, these are not necessarily bad things. We tell our children all the time that they should be different. Be yourself. You don't have to be like everybody else. But then when they threaten to be really different, we get very upset. Do you know how many times I have sat in my office and said to a parent, I know that all of his friends don't keep kosher, go to religious schools, study for their bar mitzvah, have these requirements, but it's okay for him to be different. But I'm worried for him, they say. To which my answer is, you should be worried for the strength of his soul, not for the acceptance of his friends. And you cannot build strength of soul without being able to separate yourself and for it to be okay inside of you. I'm not going to stand up here and give a political talk about what happened, in part because such a talk is now academic. The withdrawal is mostly complete and will be completed this week, and nothing will stop it. Whether it was a good thing or a bad thing, you have enough pundits and editorialists and experts to tell you. Rabbis are not gifted with special political wisdom. But spiritually, separation, which we always think of as bad, is essential. And Judaism teaches that. And we should be aware of it. Am Yoshev Badad, it is a nation that sometimes dwells by itself. And that wasn't always thought of as a bad thing. Love is not union. As he wisely said in the prophet, that is Khalil Gibran, let there be spaces in your togetherness. But of course, the Torah said it 3,000 years ago. It said it in this morning's Parsha. It said, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Listen, Israel, God is one. Which means what? You, Israel, you, humanity, are many. There will always be differences, divisions, borders, separations. You can talk all you want about how all human beings should be together and should be one, but that is not the vision of the prophet, it is the vision of the totalitarian. Make everybody alike and then we'll all be one. When we're unified under God, we're all different. So when you see this separation, at least understand spiritually that it is something that needs to happen. That what we are praying for is not that all borders will end, all walls will fall, all human beings will be alike. That's not our vision. Our vision is that all human beings will recognize something greater than themselves, and that they will do it with the humility that allows them to know that they don't know everything, that other people have the right to nurture the image of God inside themselves in love and in peace. That there's togetherness but there are also spaces. I hope that this is a good first step, that this will lead eventually, after a long and difficult road, to an accommodation that will be workable in that troubled and ancient land. We don't know. But one thing that we do know is that if you draw your borders around yourself by your own strength and your own will, then you have a chance at self-definition, at being who you are. More than that, more than strength and self-definition, some flexibility and some faith, we leave to God. Other people will tell you they know more. Maybe they do. But I'm not sure. It may be that the end of this will have to be just as the end of our Haftorah today, that it will require God's comfort and God's promise that there finally be nations that dwell separately in this world, each with its own convictions, with its own beliefs, but in peace. Kein yehi ratzon, so may it be his will.